is the trumpet blowing for the Feast of the Blowing of the Trumpets, or the Memorial of the Blowing of the Trumpets, which we're going to have today, or have been having today, and the message that's going to focus on that, which is particularly on the subject of the day. On this first day of the seventh month for us, which begins the beginning of the solemn seventh month, where we will also be celebrating the Day of Atonement on the 10th day of this month, 10 days from now, that is, of course, if you're including this day, as well as the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Ingathering, which will happen on the 15th day, as well as the 22nd day of this month. And I am not going to give anybody listening by audio ministry the Gregorian dates. Are going to have to figure that out on their own if they're wanting to observe. Part of your want to do these things is to figure it out for yourself. So, not that I won't help out, I'm just saying. So anyhow, we are going to, of course, go to the part of God's law that deals with telling us about these feasts, and that's in Leviticus chapter 23. It's one of the primary laws in the Bible that deal with this. And I'm going to pick up reading in 23:23, where we are told, Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, and holy convocation. Now, I'm going to try to do two different things in this study, because as of recently, I have received some correspondence on the subject of the new moon, keeping the new moon as a Sabbath day, as associated with the last Sabbath of every month, as well as its own independent feast day. And so I am going to help explain, because I believe that the Feast of Trumpets is the key to understanding some of what is not understood on the subject. So not only am I going to focus on the feast itself and help explain for those of us who have been celebrating the feasts for long enough to know some of these things, but I also want to help reach out to anybody who is new to the subject and considering the subject, specifically after yesterday's message on the fourth commandment in the common law of God that we have been talking about. So this is not linked to that message necessarily, but it definitely will fit in very nicely into it in understanding the new moon. And so mainly we will focus on that. Now, here's what I want to start out with saying. Many folks, including myself at one time, believe it or not, objected to the observation of the new moon as part of the festivals of Yahweh. At one time, I did not think that was something you should do. And I know I'm pretty hardcore at pushing it now and showing it out of the scriptures, particularly out of Ezekiel chapter 46 as well as Amos chapter 8 and other places where the prophets and in the Apocrypha, particularly in the book of Judith and Ecclesiasticus and different places where the Sabbath and new moon are mentioned side by side. And once a person sees that, you wonder how could you have seen it and not did anything about it. But the truth is about 14 years ago, I heard this for the first time and I objected. I objected for the first time when I heard about lunar Sabbath, and I continued in my ignorance for many years until finally, I believe the Holy Spirit got a hold of me on the subject and showed me something that I could not object to. And so I'm going to help with some of that if I can, in explaining how myself and other people, and recently other people, have given me the same objection. So I want to talk about that a little bit, to the observation of the new moon as part of the festivals of Yahweh. One of the chief objections that is found among those who object to a heavenly Sabbath, using the lights of heaven, primarily the moon, for the appointing of Sabbaths, as well as other feasts according to Leviticus chapter 23, is this, and I try to summarize all of the arguments into one statement like I would have stated it, and here it is. It says, if the new moon were a festival that is regularly adjoined to the last Sabbath of every month, according to your lunar Sabbath reckoning, why would God have need to direct the people to keep the Feast of Trumpets as a Sabbath of holy convocation, especially when you say that it is regularly part of every month led by the new moon. I think that's a very common objection people have, and it's an objection I'm going to tackle. Okay, and it's something that I personally would have said to people who pushed the idea. Before I accepted it, I had that same objection. So I'm not speaking about this from pure ignorance on the subject. But to this I want to offer the answer that's able to be ascertained by a surface or a deep comprehension of the law of Yahweh. Okay, and what I mean by that is that either if you are studying by just using the King James Bible or some other translation, or if you study the Septuagint, the LXX, all right, some people put more stock into that, or if you study the Hebrew Scriptures, they all provide a holistic understanding of the treatment of every new moon as the head or as the beginning of the month, depending on how it is defined. And we're going to get into a little bit of that. And the memorial that is to be had in the treatment of the seventh new moon, called in Hebrew Yom Teruah, okay? And I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. There's a lot of vowels in there, so I'm not exactly sure how that goes, but from the way I see it, some people pronounce it Teruah, and I think it is spelled Yom Teruah. All right? Now, whether that's right or wrong is beside the point. As the example for the new moon, I think that this Yom Teruah is put in the Bible for that reason. It helps explain this memorial, and we're going to get into that language a little bit. Yet with this new moon, with the new moon of the Day of Trumpets, special emphasis was to be had on the sound of the calling of the assembly. And I want to focus on that, the sound of the calling of the assembly. It's a pretty short snippet in Leviticus chapter 23, where it talks about this. So I'm going to read it one more time before I get into some of the language. And it's not going to be too deep of a language study. It says, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. The two words we're going to look at particularly is memorial and blowing of trumpets. The word Teruah that I have been referring to is all one word, and blowing of trumpets, it's the act of the blowing of the trumpet. And the word memorial is in there. All right? We've studied the word memorial before in adjoined words to the word memorial, particularly when we read the commandments, talking about the commandments in Deuteronomy chapter 5, where the Ten Commandments are covered. There's a word called zikar, which I believe, if my memory serves me correctly, is the sixth part of the What is Time message, which doesn't deal with understanding the time of the Sabbath, but looks at how to follow the Sabbath, or looks into the subject of it, in the idea of remembering it, not just talking about it. Okay? And that word is related to the word here used for memorial, which is the word zikrun. Okay? In Hebrew, the word is zikrun. You can find that in your Strong's Concordance, H2146, if you want to check it out. And that word means what it says, a memento, a memorial, a record. All right? And then we have the word Teruah, which is the sound of the blowing of the trumpet. It is the blowing of the trumpet. Okay? The idea found in the festival is not specified of the trumpet, in other words. So in other words, the law is not focusing on the trumpet, it's focusing on the sound that the trumpet makes. As our minds consider the English version, we, I think, sometimes get confused by this. But rather, we should be focusing upon the sound. The same word is used in 1 Samuel 4 through 5. I'm going to give an example for Teruah. 1 Samuel 4:5, it says, when the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh came into the camp, all Israel shouted. Now that word is Ruah, okay? It says they shouted with a great shout, and the second word is Teruah. It has got the T added. The second word for shout has the T added to the beginning and the E added to the end. Okay? Whereas the first word is just the word ruah. All right? And then there's tharuah. And you can see the difference in this verse, which is why I chose it to try to illustrate what I'm trying to say. Both words are related words, but one is dealing with the word in its verbal sense, okay? In the sound that the trumpet makes. When a person blew into this trumpet or shouted, they made a shout. All right? So that's why I chose that verse to show the meaning of the memorial of Theruah, the memorial of what our English Bible says, the blowing of the trumpet. Okay, and so that word is dealing with the idea of, as Strong's puts it, clamor, an acclamation of joy, or a battle cry. A trumpet, a trump, all right? I like the idea of, as well as the word alarm. We should know that too for what we're going to get into here in just a little bit. I like saying the Feast of Trumps, personally, because it doesn't just focus on the trumpet, but on the sound that the trump makes, a sound that we could make with our voice if we wanted to. We could scream and shout to Yahweh, like the Psalms tell us many times. So, just going over it briefly, I will try to put it together like this. When we understand the Feast of the Blowing of the Trumpets, I like to refer to the Feast of Trumps, okay, as the focus is then on the sound made not by the noun or the objects which makes the sound, the trumpet, okay, but the indication of the trump that it makes. We can trump with a trumpet, but we can also trump with our mouth by shouting, which I think is something that you can see in 1 Samuel that I tried to point out. Okay, and trumpets then, or trumps, the fifth feast, should be a time of praise and a time of shouting to Yahweh, a time of worship, to thank Him for all the things that we are thankful for, to praise Him. But it's also a time of serious contemplation, I think, as far as we have to understand the meanings of the words. So due to our holistic understanding of the calendar of Yahweh, that I am also trying to tie into this, we must consider the context of the law as it pertains to what surrounds the celebration of a memorial. All right, because that's what the law said. It says it is a memorial of Theruah. It is a memorial of the blowing of the trumpet. Right? It doesn't just say it is the Feast of Trumpets. It's a memorial. So let's think about the word memorial then. In Hebrew, I had already said that the word is zekrun. And it can be easily seen in the scriptures also in Exodus 17:14. Let's go there real quick. Exodus 17:14. It says, "And Yahweh said to Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven, because Yahweh will have war with Amalek from generation to generation." Now that's a paraphrase of 17:14 and 15. Okay, but the word memorial is the word that we're focusing on. And here we can see that the substance and the purpose of the memorial being made here, in this case, is a book or a record made within the law of Yahweh for Israel to remember the fact that there is a genealogical war that will be warred from generation to generation, and it is a warning and a reminder. It warns and it reminds the people of this fact. And it was to be written in their law so that they knew that it was not going to stop. This is something that we can see when Saul becomes king was still going on hundreds of years later. Okay? It's something that we can see in studying the festival or the full moon of Esther. All right, which is called Purim, according to the Bible, which can be seen in the book of Esther. It was going on in her day as well. It was a memorial to remind the people of a fact that did not need to be forgotten and shouldn't be forgotten because it was dangerous for it to become forgotten. All right, so the idea of a memorial in this case was the writing down of something. It was something to remind people of something that had happened or would be happening periodically, generation to generation. And likewise is the Leviticus chapter 23 23 and 24 mentioning of the memorial of the blowing of the trumpet on the new moon of the seventh month. Okay, something that was going to be happening time after time, new moon after new moon. And so we're going to dwell the most in Numbers chapter 10, which is the part of the law where we see the new moon being mentioned by command, so to speak. And we're going to read most of the chapter pertaining to this, starting in 1. The idea of the memorial on the Feast of Trumpets is much to the same point as what is going to be mentioned here. Numbers 10:1 says, "And Yahweh spoke to Moses," and I'm going to throw some Hebrew in here along the way because there is words that are translated in the English. Now, like I said, if you want to surface study this through the King James Version, that's fine. You'll get the same understanding. All right, but I'm going to focus on some of the Hebrew so that we can see the differences between the words and have a better understanding if we want to think about it. If not, just listen along and try to ignore the Hebrew that I'm going to throw in there along the way. All right? It says, "Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, make thee two trumpets of silver." Now, the word trumpets here is not any of the words we've discussed so far. It is the word hezra. Okay? Hezra. And that is the word for the trumpet of silver. They're made of a whole piece, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camp. Notice there's two mentions here so far, the calling of the assembly and the journeying of the camp. And when they shall blow, now there's another word we haven't discussed. The word blow is not found in Leviticus chapter 23. It is the word thwakko, is how I would pronounce that, thwakko. Okay, I thought it was kind of interesting because if you look into it, it's the idea of smacking something together according to Strong's, and oftentimes you say when something hits something, you say it thwacked it, right? So a way to understand how to blow a trumpet is thwacko, alright? That's the Hebrew word for blowing, and it's going to be used throughout Numbers chapter 10. "When they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And if they blow but with once, then the princes, which are the heads of the thousands of Israel, will gather themselves unto thee." Okay, referring, of course, to Moses that is being spoken to. And then in 5 it says, "When you blow an alarm." Now there's our word for the Feast of Trumpets that we're focusing on, the word alarm or a trump. When you blow a trump. It is a therua again, okay? "When you blow a trump, then the camp that lies on the east part shall go forward, and when you blow an alarm," same word, therua, "the second time, then the camp shall lie on the south side, shall take their journey. They shall blow an alarm for their journeys." So, we're being told that this specific word, therua, this alarm, this trump that's being blown, is going to move the people. It's going to cause them to move in a particular order that they have set and arranged for them to know what is happening when they hear this certain sound. 7 says, "But when the congregation is to be gathered together, ye shall blow, but you shall not sound an alarm." Now that's a subtly different word, but it is a similar and a related word. Threyo is the word. Okay? It's the sounding of the alarm. Alright, you will blow, but you will not sound the alarm. Now, I can't give a full understanding as to what the difference is, but I believe that it is found in the idea that there were probably different sounds that were used for different reasons. But they were both either thruas, shouts, trumps, alarms, and that they had different significations. I think that's a pretty straightforward understanding that different notes have different sounds for different reasons. Okay? Numbers 10:8 says, "The sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow with the trumpets," referring to the trumpets we had already described. Numbers 10:8 goes on to say, the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow with the trumpets, and they shall be to you for an ordinance forever throughout your generations. And if you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresses you, then ye shall blow an alarm with the trumpet, and ye shall be remembered before Yahweh your God. Now, I'm going to stop and talk about that word. Remembered, that was the word Zakar that I had just mentioned, that you will find at the very beginning of the commandment that is spoken of in Deuteronomy chapter 5 for the Sabbath, when it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Okay, well, that is the word Zakar, when we are told to remember. Actually, I may be mixed up on that. Perhaps it's Exodus chapter 20 that starts with remember, and it's Deuteronomy 5 that starts with keep. Either way, I know the word is implied in both of them, and it's actually used in both commandments, just in a different order, so I apologize if I've said that incorrectly. I don't have that in my notes. But it says to remember, to be remembered before Yahweh your God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies. All right, so the idea once again is to bring a remembrance unto the people that they are in, or to Yahweh, that their people needs to be saved from their enemies. And then 10:10 is going to be one of our primary focuses on this particular subject, where it says, also in the day of your gladness, in your solemn days, in the beginnings of your months, ye shall blow, okay, that is that word, thwacko. However, in this particular case, it is a plural word, and it's saying that you will blow plurally, alright? So it's not using the word as one single blow, but as multiple blows, as in joy. The people were going to most likely blow multiple times with the trumpet, which is the word hezar that we had already talked about above. Okay? So when it says, and you will blow, or I would say make blows with your trumpet over your burnt offerings, over your sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be for you for a memorial. Now there's the word that we did read in Leviticus chapter 23. That is the word zikron, before your God. I am Yahweh your God. So, when we read about the Feast of Trumpets, as we call it, or the Feast of Trumps, we are talking about a feast that is to be a memorial. It is a memorial of blowing the trumpet, the sound of the blowing of the trumpet. Whenever we were to blow the trumpet at the time of the new moon, every new moon, in the beginning of your months, plural. This is a plural statement referring to every single new moon that was to happen in Israel, would also have the blows, multiple blows, of the trumpets as a memorial before God. Okay? So when we ask ourselves the question, why is it that Yahweh would have us be told to Sabbath on the new moon of the seventh month, if we always have a Sabbath on the new moon, or a cessation of work on the new moon, that just doesn't make sense. Why would we have a memorial of the blowing of the trumpet, you could just as well say, on the new moon of the seventh month, when we always have a memorial of the new moon? The same goes for both statements. Rather, I think, to help show the example of the new moon every month. It sets the tone as a memorial to remind the people that if you forgot, which, guess what, the majority of our people, no matter if they follow some sketch of the Ten Commandments or some of the feasts or whatever, the majority of people have forgotten the new moon out of God's calendar. They've forgotten the new moon as part of the festival to remind Israel that God has not forgotten them as a time of gladness, as a time of solemnity, as a time of feast, as a time of all the good things that you're given, as a time for the people to come together, as a time for the assembly of ourselves, and not to forsake the assembly, we're told in the book of Hebrews. And the new moon was among one of those assembly days, a day that you would have to cease from regular labors in order to observe, in order to be there, especially during the time when sacrifices were being performed. You had to come to the sacrifice, which means you're not going to work that day. You're probably going to walk yourself to where you're going so that you can observe the sacrifice of peace offering or burnt offering or whatever. Now notice, it does not mention sin offerings. It's not talking about that. There are distinctions in offerings. These were celebratory offerings that they would gather together with. Alright? So, listen to how the LXX translation says, the Septuagint. I'm going to read out of the Brenton. It says, Numbers 10:10, "And in the days of your gladness, in your feasts, and in your new moons," it actually in the Greek uses the word noumena, which is the word new moon, neomena, "you shall sound with the trumpets." That's how it says it in the Greek. Which takes my mind directly to Psalm 81. 3 and 4, where we're told, blow up the trumpet, which is the word shofar. Okay, the word shofar is used here, referring to, I think, the ram's horn, particularly, or any type of trumpet made from an animal. Maybe I'm wrong, it could be referring as well to the silver trumpet, that is, if the silver trumpet was a overlayment over top of an animal's horn. I don't know if that's exactly how it was made or not. The Bible isn't real clear. Maybe it was a pure silver trumpet. But it says, blow up the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed, on our solemn feast days, for this was a statute for Israel and a law of the God of Jacob. Now that psalm goes on to say, which I'm not going to read, but that psalm goes on to say and sing to Yahweh that it was a statute of the law of Jacob when they were delivered from bondage, just like the Deuteronomy, this is definitely Deuteronomy 5, by the way, the Deuteronomy 5 version of the Ten Commandments says that do this because you were Pharaoh's bondsman. Well, Psalm 81, which refers to blowing the trumpet at the new moon in the time appointed and in the solemn feast day, because it's a law of the God of Jacob, makes a point to talk about the deliverance from bondage and labor in association with the celebration of the new moon, as if it was part of the Sabbath understanding. I think that that's pretty important. And also something that I find to be important whenever you read it out of the Septuagint translation that you don't see in the Hebrew because of the words not being fully translated over. It says in Psalm 81, verse 1, it says, for the end, a psalm of Asaph concerning the wine presses. Rejoice in God our helper and shout aloud to the God of Jacob. In other words, this was for a time of celebration. It was for a time of gladness among the people when the people gathered themselves together to worship God on the days of the new moons, on the times appointed, and on the solemn feast days, according to the law of the God of Jacob. All right, it was for those who were getting together at the wine presses. They were going to have a good time. It was a time of worship. A time that I think was supposed to be, and I know in our day and age it's a lot harder because of the amount of people that we have who care to celebrate and follow the laws of God and to rejoice when God says to rejoice and to fast when God says to fast, and to be happy when God says to be happy. We have resistance to that, and so because of it, we don't have a whole lot of people that get together at the wine vats to rejoice before the God of Jacob. And that's kind of a sad thing, but it's according to the commandments, punishment for those who have forgotten God. And if you read the prophets, we can see multiple times where we're told that because we don't desire God, those feasts will become sadness for some people. Well, you have to remember the feasts in order to be sad that others are not keeping them. By the context of the trump or the alarm, however, back to that issue, made by the trumpet of the people of Israel, to gather together either to war or to worship. Every event has to be seen as a gathering of the assembly. All right? So, going back to thinking about Numbers 10, and not just the celebratory aspect of Psalm 81, we see that every time in Numbers 10 that we hear about the blowing of the trumpet, and we talk about it, there's a gathering of the assembly, whether it is to war or it's to worship. Regardless of the reason, the people are gathered together. Consider some of these interesting correlations to this in Exodus chapter 32, 17, and 18. It says, when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there's a noise of war in the camp. And he said, referring to Moses, said back to Joshua, it's not the voice of them that shout for mastery, either is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. So we obviously see that this shouting, which if you go and research the words in Exodus chapter 32, you'll see that these people were involved in a type of ruah, all right, in the same sounds being made in the blowing of the trumpet, the celebration noises. And here's where I'm going to take a turn on the subject into a more, I guess, spiritual, as some people would refer to it, side of things and thinking about this. And this is not going to be a very long message, shorter than what we normally cover. But I want to think about the two options that you have when you hear the sound of trumpets, or the sound of a trump. One man oftentimes hears war. The other man oftentimes hears singing. Now, if we know the story that we hear, we understand that both were true in this case, a point which I've made many times. In the case of what was happening below Mount Sinai, Moses, just the verse prior to this one, is said to have received the stone tablets of the Ten Commandments written with God's very own finger and placed into his hands. And no more did he turn himself around to meet up with Joshua, son of Nun. He finds out that the people are involved in idolatry. They're worshiping, dancing, and celebrating before an idol, before something that's not really God, but they named it Yahweh. They were worshiping, quote-unquote, Yahweh, but they were doing it contrary to the commandments that they already knew, undoubtedly. And so, when you consider that, we have to also consider that there is a spiritual warfare against the darkness and evil of this world in our lives as well as in the lives of the people that are being recognized by this sound. The sound of happiness, the sound of joyousness, the sound of excitement, of exaltation, of trumps. But it should also be a sound sometimes of alarm. The evil of the world I'm speaking of is existent in our lives, our families, in our homes, and undoubtedly in our day and age, in our nation, as well as what I will call in our country, which does not refer to our nation. Our nation is an ethnic people, by definition. A country is borders. In other words, from sea to shining sea. We have the sound in the camp that some people cannot distinguish between the two. Is it the sound of war? Or is it the sound of happiness? Everybody seems so happy in our day and age because we have everything that we want. But at the same time, it's undoubtedly war against God. In our own lives, I think we can tie this into this understanding of trumpets that I'm talking about. I can tie it into in myself. While maybe I didn't recognize it 100% at the time, I personally believe that whenever I heard the trumpet calling me to worship at the time of the new moon, as well as maybe other people in my family and people who were resistant in my congregation to the idea, we oftentimes rebelled against it, and we did not hear the sound of exaltation and happiness. We didn't hear the sound of worship of Yahweh. We heard the sound of one more day taken away from our ability to do what we want to. And so instead, it was a sound of war that was heard by the trumpet blown on the day of the new moon, whether there was or there was not an actual trumpet. I'm sure to believe that this commonality of trumpets of the assembly is meant to be understood by Christians, particularly when you look at multiple times in the Bible where this same reference is being had, an understanding often forgotten about in our present evil day. Consider 1 Corinthians 14, starting at 7. I'll read 7 and 8. Now I know that this is referring to talking in other languages, in other tongues, but the signification being talked about is nonetheless the same. Paul says that everything, or even things, without life, giving sound, whether they are a pipe or a harp, except they have distinction in their sounds, how is it known what is piped or harped? And then 8 goes on directly to say that if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who will prepare himself for the battle? In other words, how do you know the difference between the sound of the battle, the assembly of the battle, and the assembly of happiness? How do we know that there's a distinction? I think by considering this, for myself at least, from a new covenant standpoint, and celebrating the new moon as a new covenant recipient, according to Numbers 10:10, according to all of the laws that we find in the Bible in application to keeping feasts and celebrations, that whenever I think about the as a new covenant recipient, I was saying, strange because right now as we are talking there in the background, if anybody's hearing it, is a bunch of sirens going off. So it was kind of distracting me. I apologize. But as a new covenant recipient, celebrating the new moons and celebrating the feasts of Yahweh, I oftentimes think of the coming of Christ into our life as being viewed no differently. And because when I am talking about the coming of Christ into our life, I'm talking about the idea of His perfect law. If we believe that Christ observed the new moon, if we believe that Christ observed the Sabbath, if we believe that Christ observed things, then we should walk in them like He did, to be Christians. And oftentimes, when He comes into our life and He brings this change according to God's law, according to His Father's law, some of us hear gladness, but others of us hear the sound of war. This is undoubtedly the case whenever we don't want to change, and then there are some times we're so excited that we want to change. Just as Moses and Joshua, after receiving the law, both heard the same sound, but distinguished it differently, I think that we do the same things. Consider 1 Thessalonians 5:2. First Thessalonians 5, and I'm going to start in 2, says, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, there is peace and safety, then suddenly destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in the darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they who be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of our salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Yeshua the Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Now the reason that I am reading this particular verse in light of what I'm talking about, when I talk about when we are walking a lawful Christian life, when we're trying to pattern our life according to the life of Christ, and in this case I'm particularly talking about walking in the new moon, and celebrating it, as well as the feasts and things of that nature, I'm using this as the same duplistic understanding where there are some people that when the day of the Lord comes, now whether this is talking about the literal day of the Lord, which I think there could be two meanings to it, or perhaps just one. But the most important meaning, if there is just one meaning to it, is the idea that the day of the Lord is referencing the day when the Lord comes to us personally. I'm not referring, and I don't think that this verse has to be dealing, I'm not saying it's not, but I'm saying it doesn't have to be dealing with the end times aspect of things. Okay? That in the end times, when everything's finished, Christ is going to return and take the kingdom to Himself and all of that. And that some people will be caught up as a thief in the night, like when a thief breaks into your home, you won't know. But instead, what Paul's admonishing us to do is to not have our homes broken into like a thief in the night. That we should be awake and ready, sober, diligent, and that when that thing comes, we will know what is happening. That rather than whenever a thief is coming into the home, we say, it's nothing more than peace and safety, and instead, sudden destruction comes upon them, or us. Just like a woman who, when she has a child and it finally hits her that the child is coming, the pain overtakes her, as if she didn't know the child were to come at that moment. But we're told that they will not escape who are overtaken as a thief. The judgments of Yahweh and the punishments of Yahweh, the destruction that will come from God for those who are disobedient, will come upon people as a thief in the night, as one who breaks into a house and you don't know that it's happening, because you don't know the morality of God, because we don't understand what God wants out of us. And so whenever it happens, even in our ignorance, we will not understand why it happens. But we as Christians, as brethren, are not to be in darkness, that day would overtake us. We are to be understanding of what's happening. We're to understand what season it is, and we are to understand what God would have out of us. So that duplistic understanding that I'm talking about is just as the sound of the trumpet can both signify praise and glee and gladness, as well as war, it gathers you together to a certain thing. All right? It gathers us together into an assembly, either for one reason or the other. I know for me, as I was saying, I gathered myself into the idea that the new moon, which, of course, you know, we know the moon has a strong association with the night. We may see it during the day, but at the night time is when we notice it the most. That the idea of using the Sabbaths according to the moon, as well as keeping the new moon, seemed to me as if it were the noise of war, not the noise of gladness. And that whenever I finally awoke to the truth of what I believe I understand now, that I received it with gladness. And now when I heard it again, when my understanding was opened, when the light of God's Word was revealed to me, and I heard the commandment, and I read the law, it came to me not as a thief in the night, not as something that I was going to be ignorant of while I slept, but it came to me as something I was awake to see and happy to behold. Now that's an analogy, and I hope that those listening can understand the analogy and can understand what I'm getting at. But I think that that 1 Thessalonians 5 understanding that I think is more important than the understanding that when Christ comes or returns, that he is going to come to some as a thief in the night, those who are not caring that he's coming, and those who know he's coming, he will come as happy tidings. There will be a happy that the Lord has come, that Christ has returned to the earth to solve all of our problems and to change the world back to the way he would like it. That's a great understanding of it. Perhaps it is one of the correct ones, but the more important one is how we deal with things in our life. That we are not to be the children of darkness who hide in the darkness, that hide in the dark from the light of God's Word and the light of the truth that's being revealed to us. Now, I'm not saying that everybody who hears this message that doesn't follow the new moon does that. I'm not trying to condemn anybody. It's not my place to bring any form of condemnation on a person. What I am saying is if you've seen the light of the truth of this out of any of the scriptures that we've quoted prior or ones you've read yourself and you've ignored them, that whenever the truth of this finally catches up with you, it will overtake us as a thief in the night. It will overtake you as a thief in the night. And so we can have the understanding when we hear the sound, the memorial of the blowing of the trumpet at the Feast of Trumpets, to remind us that every new moon was to be celebrated this way. It was a memorial, just like something written in a book, that was to remind us that every new moon was celebrated like this one. Sabbath, trumpets. Sabbath and trumps. Sabbath and rejoicing. Okay? So that the argument that I presented at the beginning of this that says this is a special Sabbath and that's why Yahweh mentions it as special as one of the feasts, because it's not normal. We don't have to do this every new moon. I think that this message, hopefully, points out both the natural language error of that doctrine and understanding, as well as pointing out the spiritual possibility of putting yourself in the darkness so that you don't have to obey the word of God's law, or the law of God's word, however you'd like to look at it. I'm going to finish up with reading something that ties into 1 Thessalonians 5, particularly, and I think the holistic understanding of allowing God's Word to penetrate into our lives, into who we are. And it's a verse that we hear all the time, as I've said before, on the ooey-gooey Christmas, Easter, birthday cards of the modern-day church. John 3:16. Everybody knows it. It says, in John 3... Let me start over again here. I fumbled over my words. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." 3:17 goes on to say, "For God sent his Son into the world, sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him they might be saved. He that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. Light comes into this world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light, neither do they come to the light, lest their deeds are reproved." pushed away. But he that does truth will come into the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that are wrought in God. Now, I understand that that's not a complete tie-in to understanding the Feast of Trumpets. But what I am trying to tie it into is a line of thinking that we who celebrate the new moons and the feasts and the Sabbaths should understand just as well as those who are not doing so and just listening. That is, when the truth of God's Word comes into our life, we have a choice. We have a choice to either hear that sound of war, or do we hear the sound of happiness and change? Do we see truth and light, seeing that we are evil and change our ways by the truth of God's law, and by the truth of God's morality and His ways? Or do we hide ourselves in our ignorance and in our diswant to know the truth? And do we condemn ourselves because we condemn ourselves? Not because God is not willing to forgive us. Not because Christ is unwilling to help us. But because we ourselves hide in the darkness. So I want to end with that thought for this particular Feast of Trumpets. And I'm going to one more time blow that trumpet to end the message.